You know, one of the things that's kind of, I don't know if frustrating is the right word or not, but like whenever you go to a camp meeting or a revival or whatever they call it, the speakers always talk about, well, this is the greatest we've ever had. And you know, there's a lot of hype to it. And when I was in a lot of those in the past, you know, I was caught up in the hype as well. But, you know, ever since March of 1997, when I attended my very first Prayer and Power Conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I have discovered there's a whole other world out there in the body of Christ. And I thank God that these conferences aren't filled with hype. And if this is, I'm just curious, is this the very, for anybody here, this is your very first Prayer and Power Conference, would you lift your hand? Gee whiz. Wow. And this is Thursday night. I know that some folks have already had to go home. Well, let me just say this. This conference is great. It really is. It's powerful. And I know this, if this is your first one, for those of you that it is your first one, this is different from anything maybe that you've ever been in before. You know, not only are the services different, but, you know, the way that we approach the offerings is different. You know, you've never been pressured once for money. Not once, and we're not going to start. But you know, I can just see somebody, this is their first conference. They've never attended services like this, never heard offerings done this way. And here it is Thursday, and I could see somebody, you know, coming up and just complaining, saying, I don't get it. I thought this was a conference. I thought we were supposed to get blessed. You know, what's wrong with you people? Not one time in any of these services have you given me the opportunity to get a 100-fold return on my offering. All you've done is teach the word and minister to people and get folks healed and worship and all this stuff, man. It's like, don't you know the way things are supposed to be? Actually, we're learning the way that things are supposed to be. Thank God those days are over.
No more Mr. Nice Guy. Open up to Malachi chapter 3. Right now, Malachi 3, okay? I'm not kidding. Open up to Malachi 3. I'm not kidding. Somebody says, here we go. All right. In the early days, when Sue and I, we really didn't know the word. We just knew we loved Jesus. And we got born again. And one thing about Sue and I, we're not like a lot of people that maybe they were kind of self-righteous. And you know, they thought they were okay before they got saved. Sue laughed. One thing we knew about us, we were sinners. We knew we were on our way to hell. We're just trying to have a good time on the way, you know. And we just didn't know the way out, so... Boy, when we got saved, we got radically saved. It completely changed our lifestyle. It got us out of the bars. It changed our motivation. We just wanted to love Jesus and serve Jesus and learn about Him. And the young man that led us to the Lord really was very pure. And just about everything he taught us in all these years, we can't think of hardly anything that he ever taught us that was wrong, you know. But he eventually had to move and he got married, moved to Indiana, and pastored for about 20 years up there. And so we were left to the tender mercies, and I shouldn't say it that way. We were left to the, well, we began listening to other preachers. And, of course, we didn't know any better in those early days. See, I'll just go ahead and, no, I won't do that. It'll mess it up. So we didn't know. We're going, and we want to please God, we want to serve God, and we also want to please God in our finances. Well, we didn't know, and so you go to church, and it'd come offering time. And you know, and at that time I was only 33. We're young, and we got kids to raise and family, you know, mouths to feed, and I want to prosper and be blessed, and I you know, and I also want to please God. Don't you all want to please God? You know, so they'd Here they come, boy. Malachi, chapter 3. And I'm not making fun. Now, this is an absolutely God's word to His covenant people at the time. At the time, this was His word, and this is how you did it. But they're reading it to me, and I didn't, like it's for me. And so, you know, we're just listening to the preacher. I mean, we figure they know what they're doing. And so, here it is, you know, Malachi 3, chapter 8. You could probably quote it word for word. Will a man rob God? And I said, yet you have robbed me. And I'm going, I have? But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Boy, now I'm not making fun of God's word. I am making fun a little bit of the preachers. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. By this time, I'm already going, get the checkbook, get the checkbook. Sue, get it out of your purse. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Man, there it is in black and white. It's God's word. I mean, I'm holding the Bible in my hand. There it is. And they're saying with the key to that open window. I mean, one thing I knew for sure, young man raising a family, married, I needed the windows of heaven open. Don't y'all want the windows of heaven open? So the first level of teaching was the tithe is what opens that windows of heaven. Anyone ever hear that? And then, did you ever hear the thing? Well, that the size of your offering, that's what determines how much of a harvest comes through that window. You know, so here we go. And man, we started, man, faithfully writing out a tithe check and then doing our best to put in offerings. And, you know, we want the windows of heaven to open. I want God's blessing. This went on for a long time. But see, once you start really seeking the Lord, if you keep praying in other tongues and meditating and especially assimilating the Word, I counsel you, assimilate the New Testament first. That is the covenant for new creatures. By the way, the Holy Spirit is the new creature teacher. Okay? You got that? All right. Well, anyway, and if you'll keep doing that, eventually He'll set you free. He'll by revelation, by voice, by vision, by dream, He'll start teaching you. So one time I had this little movie in my mind. It's just a little vision, you know, and it started playing. Just playing in my brain like a little movie you're watching. And I was standing, if you can picture with me, I was standing in front of a giant castle. And there was a window right in front of me. And somehow I knew that that window represented the windows of heaven. That's the very window. I said, that's the one I need open. If I can just get that window open, then the blessings of God would pour through it. Now, you know how you just know things? I mean, I know this is the kingdom of God. It looked like a stone castle. But the window in it was more like a window from a house built in the 50s or 60s. You know, a wood sash. You know, it comes up like this. And it was closed. So I'm over there going, that's the window I need open. I know what. And I'm over there and I'm trying to raise that window up. It won't come up. Then suddenly a preacher, a TV preacher, got the hair and everything. You know. TV evangelist, you know, shows up right there and he's going, I'm going, I can't get this window open. He says, throw money at it. Oh, okay. So I'll get my wallet and I'm starting to get my money out. He says, wait just a minute. And he goes and gets an offering bucket and he sets it down at the bottom of the window. He says, now throw money at it. Okay, so I'm get my wallet and I'm throwing money at it. I'm throwing money. The window doesn't open and I'm over there and I'm going, what's the problem now? He says, you're just not giving enough. You got to throw more. You're just not giving God enough. You got to really show God that you're serious. And he goes and gets another bucket and sets it down there. And he says, now throw more money at it. I'm throwing money at this window. Come on. Finally, I get tired and I rest for a minute. And I look through the window. And suddenly I can see inside the kingdom there. I can see inside the castle. And I'm looking over there, and over there's this row of big throne-type chairs. And you know who I see seated there? Me! See, Ephesians 1 says, even while we were dead in sins, we were quickened together with Him, raised up together with Him, and seated together in Him, in Christ Jesus. My spirit's already in there, and it's looking at my soul. And it's going, my spirit starts apologizing to Jesus, who's seated right next to her, you know, and my spirit goes, I'm sorry. I apologize for my soul. It's been watching the TV preachers again. I apologize. Yeah. I'm sorry it's so uneducated that it thinks it has to do this. Just a minute, Jesus. My spirit starts yelling to my soul, go around to the door. It's open. Everything in here belongs to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not giving in our covenant. We are not giving trying to get the windows of heaven open. You have already been made a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, He will take of mine and He will show it to you. Why? Because He says, all that the Father has is mine. For that reason, He'll take of mine and show it unto you. Why? Because He is the firstborn of many brethren. And we have been made joint heirs. If you really want to know the reason why we don't have, it's because we don't ask. We don't ask. Or like Bronk taught that night, we have not yet really set ourselves first, really seeking first the kingdom, laying down your life's agenda for His agenda. And the more you do that, you'll just start stumbling over your own provision. Because all these things will be added unto you. Did you get anything out of that? It'll set you free. It'll set you free. Hallelujah. The ushers, go ahead and come forward. So when you give tonight, so we're trying to take away all motivations of greed, all motivations of fear. Hey, He loves you. He's already provided for you. Jesus has already paid the price for you to have everything that the Father has. So when we give, what's our motivation for giving? It's the kingdom. It's the harvest. It's for that next person that's going to get born again in a Muslim country and becomes an evangelist. If you heard that testimony, leading others to Jesus. It's for the harvest. Father, we thank You for everything that You've done, Lord. We thank You for the truth of Your Word which sets us free from error. Father, we thank You for the great Holy Spirit, the true teacher of our new nature. Father, now we thank You for Your hand of blessing upon everybody who gives. Lord, You know that everything that comes through this offering is going to come from a pure heart. Because we love You, we're thankful to be saved. Father, we're offering this so You can use these finances to get other people saved and healed and blessed. Father, thank You for the blood of the Lamb. Thank You for the salvation given us freely through faith in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.